Being a marketer is no sweat. You just have to manage dozens of channels, launch hundreds of campaigns, score thousands of leads, and okay, fine, it's a lot of sweat. Unless you have HubSpot's AI-powered marketing tools to help you do all that and more. Get started at HubSpot.com/marketers.
This year, Santa's bringing the power of Energizer into his workshop.
Whoa, the Energizer Bunny's got so much power.
Wait, he's powered up all the toys. I think that means we're done for the year.
I love this bunny.
He's the hardest working helper the North Pole has ever seen. And he wants all your gifts to have the power of the number one longest lasting AA battery. So this holiday season, stock up on Santa's and the elves' favorite battery, Energizer Ultimate Lithium.
Oh my God, you guys are my favorite.
This is the Rich Eisen Show. Rich Eisen.
I know what I'm talking about. That's the headline.
The Rich Eisen Show with guest host Dan Schwartzman.
OMG.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Oh my gosh.
And now, sitting in for Rich, it's Dan Schwartzman.
All right, it is hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show on this Black Friday. Dan Schwartzman in for Rich, 844-204-RICH. That's 844-204-7424. Chiefs hosting the Raiders on Prime Video. I really hate, by the way, when they're on like Prime and stuff and I forget, I'm searching for the game. I'm like, oh yeah, it's right. Got to open up the app and do all this, and then it better not do what happened with Netflix, by the way, for the Jake Paul Mike Tyson fight where some people had problems, and you hope that Netflix fixes that before the Christmas Day games that they will be broadcasting, because the NFL is going to get 20 to 30 million viewers for those games, and people do not want to have problems watching because the NFL decided to take money from streaming services, even though they have enough money anyway, but they took the streaming service money to expand their pocketbooks, and that angered a bunch of people, of course. So here's the thing, all right? Like, the Chiefs are 10-1. They're getting healthier. Isaiah Pacheco comes back. He had hurt his ankle, needed some surgery after that week two game against Cincinnati. There is a revenge factor even against the lowly Raiders here, because the Raiders beat them last year on Christmas Day at Arrowhead Stadium. It's the last time I believe they had lost before they fell to the Bills last week. So when a push comes to shove, the Chiefs are just getting better at this point. They're getting healthier. Maybe that's going to help Patrick Mahomes, who has been, you know, not as good. I mean, Patrick Mahomes is a stud. He's great. He's on his way to be one of the greatest quarterbacks in the history of football. Multiple Super Bowls. His numbers are going to be stunning when they're all said and done. He's going to be up there in the rarefied air of Tom Brady and Drew Brees and Aaron Rodgers and guys like that. When you talk about overall statistics and yards passing, touchdown passes, so on and so forth, he's going to be in that conversation. He's that great. Big fan of Patrick Mahomes. Big fan of Patrick Mahomes. Not, can't say a bad thing about the guy. Been loyal to Kansas City. They've been good to him, paid him a ton of money. And he continues to produce. And if you're Andy Reid, look, you had an incredible run in Philadelphia with Donovan McNabb. Didn't quite win a Super Bowl there. Tons of NFC championship games. He goes to Kansas City. They get Patrick Mahomes, and the rest is history. Andy Reid, when it's all said and done, could be the winningest coach in NFL history. And he's just piling up Super Bowls at this point. No reason, if you're Andy Reid, to leave Kansas City. You got a 29-year-old stud quarterback. And as long as he's there, you will continue to win games and win, you know, 11, 10, 12 games, 13 games a year and keep adding to what's an incredible record already, by the way, of wins and losses and now Super Bowl rings. So I enjoy watching the Chiefs. I'm not a fan per se. I'm not from Kansas City. I'm loyal to my fans, you know, to my teams that I rooted growing up as a kid here in New York. But got to respect what they've done in Kansas City building that team. And it's been a phenomenal ride, and it continues. And they're 10-1. And maybe that loss to the Bills was what they needed. Look, sometimes you need to lose, right? I remember speaking to a prominent member of that incredible Patriots team that went undefeated in the regular season.
Yeah.
Made it to the Super Bowl. They were one game away from perfection, and they lost to the Giants, and David Tyree's incredible catch against his helmet leading to the Plexico Burris touchdown that sealed a Super Bowl for the Giants in that improbable game. And I remember that prominent member of that Patriots team telling me, Art, that maybe it was best if they had lost to the Giants. Remember, people forget they had played the Giants near the end of the regular season that year, and the Giants played them really well and had a chance to win that game. It was very, very close. And he said that that team, by the time they got to the Super Bowl and were flirting with that perfection, was so nervous and uptight because of the fact they were going for that history, that maybe having lost earlier would have taken that away. Because when you're not going for a record of perfection, right? The only team since the Miami Dolphins that have ever ended a season undefeated. It's only happened once in NFL history. Okay, they almost did it. But the pressure of doing that probably hurt them in a Super Bowl that they should have won. They were the favorites. They were the better team. They were, what, 18-0 going into that game, right? So maybe for Kansas City, yet again, they were 10-0. They were playing great football, and things are going their way. And 2 weeks ago, they played Buffalo, and they lose. Now, it was on the road at Buffalo, so it's not exactly a bad loss in the sense of saying, oh, how could you lose to the Bills? Two things. One, the Bills are really, really good. And two, it was on the road in Buffalo, not an easy place to play. But here's what I think when I think Kansas City. And Art, you watch, you know, listen, you're out there on the West Coast. They're a phenomenal team. And if I have to bet on a head coach winning a Super Bowl, it is going to be Andy Reid over really anybody else in this league. It's awesome to get guys on short notice because, let's face it, breaking news today with Matt Eberflus, our buddy Jordan Schultz, Fox Sports NFL insider. And he does so much, by the way. Follow him on Twitter/X at Schultz_report. Jordan, first off, happy Thanksgiving to you and the family. Appreciate you hopping on short notice.
Oh, my pleasure. You as well.
Thank you, Jordan. Let's get right to it. Your reaction to the news that broke a while back that Matt Eberflus out as the head coach of the Chicago Bears.
You know, I want to say that I was not surprised, but I was, because this is an organization in 100-plus years that has never once made a change mid-season. And, you know, there was a point last year about the same time where I thought Eberflus could be in trouble. He ended up surviving. They were better the second half of the year and ends up getting this opportunity in 2024 with the number one pick. And, you know, it just did not go well enough. It was an organization, and it is an organization that is – proud, and also I think operating under the guise of false pretenses. I mean that with respect to the organization, but at the same time, they come out and they allow Matt Eberflus this morning to speak to the press via Zoom, and basically the guy says, I met with Kevin Warren, I met with Ryan Poles last night, we did a debrief, and now we can move on and get ready for next week. I don't know how you let your head coach talk to the press and then an hour and a half later fire him. It's incredibly dysfunctional.
Yeah, it sounds Jets-esque, doesn't it? The way that kind of played out when it came
it
to that.
Yeah.
But Jordan, here's the thing though. I look at some of the job openings that we know, the Jets, the Saints, the Bears, potentially the Giants as well. Who knows about Peterson in Jacksonville? But you have Caleb Williams, and I like Caleb Williams. People forget that final throw. If Odunze turns to the right shoulder instead of the left and doesn't slow down, that's a perfect pass in his hands. It's probably a touchdown. He's done nice things without much of an offensive line and a lot of problems, obviously, with the coaching staff. But is that potentially the best job out of the ones I've mentioned because of the fact you have a young quarterback with a lot of talent who's not eating up a ton of salary cap room?
Yeah, I mean, this. If you look around the league at jobs that are open now and jobs that could become available, Chicago, with not only Caleb Williams, but the arsenal of talent they have around him offensively, they've obviously done a really good job defensively. I think offensive line has been the biggest issue, but it's a really appealing job. It's also an appealing job because the organization traditionally has been stable. And you could say a lot of bad things about the Bears, but that's traditionally not something you would. You would not say the same about the Jets or the Jaguars or even the Giants over the last decade, who obviously haven't fired Brian Daboll yet, but it's been made very clear to me that he is coaching for his job. So, listen, this is a great job. It's a great football city. It's a great franchise. But the McCaskey family, I think, is they at some point you need to modernize, right? You have to adapt, and they just have not been able to do that. And the Matt Eberflus hire was one thing, but to fire him in this capacity, again, speaks to me to the dysfunction, you know. And I do wonder, and I haven't spoken to anybody about this yet, but I do wonder if you are a prospective head coach, knowing how hard these jobs to get, how you balance the dichotomy between wanting one of these jobs and also realizing that if it does not go well, it's very hard to get a second opportunity. Like, I don't think Matt Eberflus will ever be a head coach again. And, you know, the icing on the cake was obviously how things ended, to your point, yesterday in Detroit. But I guess long answer or short answer, it is a really good job.
Chat with Jordan Schultz, Fox Sports NFL Insider. Follow him on X at Schultz_report. I am one of your 380,000-plus followers. And one of the reasons I want to bring you on today is you have an image of Shedeur Sanders as well as Travis Hunter, and you talk about the potential of them being the first and second picks in the draft. Sanders dominating again at the half right now, 21-0 over Oklahoma State. He's going to throw a ton of touchdowns, ton of yards. You know, people have debated how good he is in terms of being a generational, not generational type of talent. It's a stupid conversation, but we enjoy having him, Jordan. In your mind, when you watch him play in the pedigree, is he a guy that you think is the best quarterback? And how does he compare to a Trevor Lawrence coming out when he was that quote unquote generational guy?
Yeah. You know, first of all, it's so fascinating because those two players, Hunter and Sanders, have been arguably the two most exciting players alongside Jentzy this season. And yet it's very polarizing, specifically with Sanders. You know, I'm not a quarterback guru, but I can tell you that there are a lot of teams that look at Shedeur Sanders as the number one player and number one quarterback in this class based on this season, and I think the growth that he has made. It's not a really flush quarterback class. I think the two guys, without question, ahead of everyone else are Sanders and Cam Ward out of Miami, the Washington State transfer. I think Sanders probably is the most ready. He's played a lot of football. He's won a lot of football games going back to Jackson State. I think the biggest question mark isn't even the talent, but it's how coachable would he be? Are you drafting a headache? And, you know, I'm not a quarterback guru, but from what I've gathered over the last few months and even last year is that he is coachable. He will be coachable. He has a great understanding of the game, having grown up around it. And I think to that point, I don't see a scenario where he gets outside the top three. I think the top three are going to end up being, in some order, Hunter, Sanders, and Cam Ward. Those are the three best players and obviously premium position, especially a quarterback.
Now, that said, Jordan, you know, Deion Sanders is doing a heck of a job at Colorado, and he has shown that he is a head coach, at least in the college ranks. Do you think or have you heard, and you have a ton of connections, Jordan, is there some worry that he's going to try to influence where Sanders ends up, telling teams like the Jets potentially, no, don't go there? And is there that potential of a package deal because his name does continue to come up?
You know, it's a really fair question. I don't think he'll necessarily influence where Shedeur goes, but I think he'll have an impact on the draft process in terms of what meetings he takes, how much he participates at the combine, what visits he takes. And so to a degree, you could say maybe he would have influence, even if it's not direct, on the actual outcome, if that makes sense. You know, I would say as well that we saw this to a degree, I think last year, with maybe not as highly publicized, but Caleb Williams, his dad was very much involved. He did not hire an agent. Obviously, it did not impact him. He didn't really do much at the combine or interview-wise. So I think Sanders, it's been made clear to me as well that he – at this point wants to remain at Colorado. I think he'll certainly have an impact on the draft, but I don't know at this point, at least, if it's as full blown as it's been made out to be.
Jordan Schultz at Fox Sports NFL Insider joining us here on the Rich Eisen Show. Dan Schwartzman in for Rich. Travis Hunter is an incredible athlete, an intriguing prospect, could be the top pick in this draft. We watch Shohei Ohtani in baseball, star as a two-way player. Hunter can pick which side of the ball he wants to play at. Are we looking at a guy that potentially could be a two-way star in the NFL?
So I think his best position, at least right away, would probably be wide receiver. And you say that, and you say, well, he's been so dominant at corner. He's one of the, if not the best DB in the country. But I think receiver teams look at him and say, that's where we want you to play. The two-way thing is so fascinating, and it certainly makes him that much more valuable. You mentioned Ohtani and how rare it is, Dan, in the modern era to have a guy do different positions regardless of sport. I think Hunter, given his athleticism, there was a video that surfaced yesterday. I don't know if you saw it, of him playing basketball. He looks like an NBA player. I mean, he is truly a once-in-a-lifetime type of athlete. And he's so charismatic as well and so competitive that I think he'll try to do both. It's so hard to do one great. And most teams, I think, especially drafting that high, top three, top five, first overall, whatever, they're going to want you to be great at one thing. And when you start playing two positions, especially receiver and corner, that risk of injury goes up, and then you wonder, is it worth it? So I think receiver's probably the position, but listen, I wouldn't be surprised if he ended up playing corner as well, or at least some snaps. I think the biggest comp or the best comp would be maybe a Charles Woodson when he came out of Michigan, played a lot of DB and then some receiver. This guy's playing a lot of both. And so it is possible. If anybody can do it, it's him. But I would imagine that at least at first, it would be more wide receiver than anything else.
And in any sport, you do need a breather once in a while. And if he's playing both sides, he's not getting much of a breather on the sideline. So that could be an issue as well. And with injuries in football,
Teams
may be afraid. But here's the good news. Like, if he is not good at one position and you drafted him high, stick him in the other position, he's probably a Pro Bowler. So it's amazing what you could do. Jordan Schultz, NFL insider for Fox Sports, also all over Twitter as well. Jordan, again, happy holidays to you and the family, especially the dogs, my friend. I'm a big fan of your dogs. Talk to you soon, my friend.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, we I don't know if you saw, we just got a third rescue and another cat. We're big animal people here in the Schultz household, Dan. So thank you.
Who does the listen? I had animals too, and I love them, but you must have hair all over the apartment.
We do. It's a problem. None of them are quote unquote hypoallergenic, so it's a significant issue. But when you have young kids as we do, especially in New York City, having a full house of animals and kids is really fun. So I guess it is worth the price.
It is. I admit it 100%. I love my kids, but sometimes animals are the most loyal and they don't talk back. And they're much cheaper than having
100%.
Children.
There it is. You know it.
Jordan, appreciate it, my friend. Have a great weekend.
You too, buddy. Thanks.
Thank you. At Schultz_report. Follow him on Twitter/X. He breaks a ton of stories there, and really appreciate him hopping on.
That was
short
great.
Notice.
It was a good interview.
Yeah. And, he had literally 25 minutes ago, before he joined us, he had put up a picture of both Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter talking about the fact that they could be the first number one and two picks out of the same school in 25 years. Courtney Brown and LeVar Arrington, don't forget, went one and two out of Penn State to the Browns and to, at that time, the Washington Redskins, now the Commanders. All right, we'll take a break. More college football talk. I want to know more about Sanders, and is there somewhat of a consensus, and could Deion follow him? Dalton Wasserman, Pro Football Focus data analyst and co-host of the Pro Football Focus College Football Show. He will be joining us next. Sanders, 171 passing yards, 2 touchdowns in the first half. Colorado dominating Oklahoma State. The Rich Eisen Show on Black Friday. I'm Dan Schwartzman in for Rich.
Let's talk Sleep Number, people. There's a reason why Sleep Number is the official sleep and wellness partner of the National Football League. Because in the NFL, there's no margin for error. One mistake can change the outcome of a game. And science proves quality sleep can help boost reaction time, recovery time, and overall athletic performance. Imagine what it can do for you. I know about it. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. It's just 10 numbers of difference. But it really does make the difference. We can adjust our side of the bed the way that we want and get the perfect quality sleep that we need to be more ourselves in work, around the kids. It's awesome. Get ready and get yourself to a Sleep Number store. If you're in the market for a new bed, you should stop at a Sleep Number store, and why not? It's awesome. Again, there's a reason why it's the official sleep and wellness partner of the National Football League. Take it from me. You'll love Sleep Number. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people. You love their jingle. You're going to love their friendly, helpful service even better because they're in the business of keeping your car on the road. And the parts knowledge they have, it's all you need for your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll find you just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fixed, or quick service? They'll help you there and find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. So stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's OReillyAuto.com/EISEN. O'Reilly Auto Parts. As many of you clearly know, I love going to watch football live. There's nothing like it, whether it's college football or professional football. There's nothing quite like the excitement of being in the stadium. And Game Time tickets and Game Time picks through Game Time is exactly your way and your gateway to getting the seat that you want and the experience that you'll never forget. Game Time Picks is a new curation feature that filters out the fluff to show you only incredible deals on great seats so you don't waste a single second searching through thousands of tickets. The all-in pricing feature, that's my favorite. You get to see your total upfront, no surprise fees at checkout. With Game Time, you'll always get the lowest price guarantee, or Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. Take the guesswork right out of buying tickets right now with Game Time. Download the Game Time app. Create an account. Use my code of Eisen for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account. Redeem my code EISEN. Boom, $20 off. Download Game Time today. What time is it? Game Time.
Welcome back to the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. I'm Dan Schwartzman, sitting in at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger. With supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger has the right product for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. College football season rolls along. Colorado right now, 25th ranked in the country. They are dominating Oklahoma State in the third quarter. Shedeur Sanders, another ridiculous game. Four touchdown passes, closing in on 300 yards, and there's 11 minutes to go in the third quarter. Dalton Wasserman, we'll talk to him in a minute here. He is a Pro Football Focus data analyst and co-host of the Pro Football Focus College Football Show. And right now, PFF is running its biggest deal of the year. From now through Cyber Monday, you can save 35% on an annual subscription to PFF Plus. Unlock PFF's premium stats, tools, and expert analysis to make smarter winning decisions. Dive into fan favorites like the Mock Draft Simulator, industry-leading fantasy tools, betting projections, and exclusive insights from experts like Trevor Sigma, Nathan Janke, and more. Don't wait. Head to subscribe.pff.com and use promo code SCORE35 before December 2nd to grab this deal. All right, Dalton Wasserman from PFF, a data analyst, co-host of the PFF College Football Show, joining us. First off, Dalton, happy holidays, my friend, to you and the family. Hope you had a relaxing Thursday, although, of course, college football back at it today, so probably not so relaxing. How are you?
Oh, fantastic, Dan. How was your Thanksgiving?
I worked, actually, a bunch of hours. That's my life. But it's okay. No wife and kids.
Okay, I feel it. Well, it's football season. That's how it goes. I can relate to that for sure, this time of year especially.
I had a nice dinner Wednesday night. We had some people over. We had duck. I'm tired of turkey, and it worked out well. And then I worked yesterday, so I am satisfied. Now, let's get down to this, Dalton. Shedeur Sanders playing great again today. Has he separated himself from Cam Ward, Quinn Ewers, guys like that, in terms of being the best quarterback in college football, potentially the top pick in the NFL draft in your eyes?
I think there are still going to be some debates between him and Cam Ward. I think those are clearly the top two, and some people are going to like Cam Ward's playmaking ability and maybe even the arm strength a little bit better. But me personally, I think Shedeur is the best quarterback in this draft. I love his decision-making. I love his ball security. I love his processing of coverages. I just think he does kind of a lot of the quarterback things, right, that get the job done at the professional level. And the one big knock is, yeah, he takes too many sacks, and that's an offensive line he's been playing behind that's been very below average for 2 years. But otherwise, when you talk about a guy, if you're looking for accuracy,
fundamentals and processing and football IQ, Shador is the guy you're looking for in this draft. Maybe Cam Ward has a little higher ceiling in some people's eyes. And again, I think if you had Cam Ward as the top guy, I wouldn't argue too much with you. I think they are close, but those two are clearly the two best quarterbacks to me in this draft.
All right, so in this draft, Dalton, they may be the best quarterbacks, but some have said this is a weaker quarterback draft. There's no, let's throw out some of the names. There's no Williams, who went to the Bears, obviously. There's no Trevor Lawrence type of player. Is that fair to say, or do you think these guys are somewhere in that vicinity, at least of a Caleb Williams?
No, I think that is fair to say. Between the top end talent and the depth of it, it's a much the depth of this class is a lot more shallow, right? I think you've got Shador and Cam as solidified first round picks, and maybe somebody falls in love with, you know, a Jalen Milroe or a Garrett Nussmeier, but I don't think the top end talent or the depth is anywhere near last year. I think you could see two first round quarterbacks taken, and then maybe not another one taken till the third round. It's a pretty big gap there for me between those first two guys and the rest. And then you talk about at the top with Shador and Cam. I think if they were in last year's draft, they would have been, you know, in the argument more for probably that QB4 spot right around where Michael Penix went, and those, you know, and along with McCarthy and Nix. I think they're more in that group than they are with the top three guys that went with the first three picks last year.
All right, Dalton, who's that guy, though, that's going to show up for a pro day or show up at the combine and he's going to impress? And even though the history tells us guys who may have great talent doesn't mean they're going to be great quarterbacks, who's that guy that's going to impress and get scouts going ooh and ah that we're not talking about right now?
I'll give you two. I still think there's going to be some teams, depending on their scouting philosophy, that fall in love with Jalen Milroe because he is different than the rest of the prospects with what he can do, you know, with his legs and all the running. He's got a huge arm. He just, at times, the accuracy and the footwork is a problem. And then the other guy I'm going to tell you, if he comes out, is Penn State's Drew Aller. Now, he doesn't put up the biggest passing numbers because they run a very balanced offense, and they don't have a whole lot of receivers. And, you know, the best player is really the tight end, Tyler Warren. But Drew Aller has all the tools of an NFL quarterback. He's got a rifle for an arm. He can move well enough. He protects the football well. And with him, it's just a matter of ball placement. So if he continues to show, you know, improved accuracy, I think Drew Aller is a guy that some people start looking at going, you know what, he's got all the tools. We just have to put him in a good situation.
Pro Football Focus data analyst and co-host of the PFF College Football Show, Dalton Wasserman, joining us here on the Rich Eisen Show. Dan Schwartzman in for Rich. All right, I want to throw a name out. Now, the Bears have a head coaching opening. The Jets have an opening. Saints, there'll be more teams as well as we get to Black Monday after the regular season ends. All right, you know, people love offense in the NFL today. It's an offensive league, lots of yards thrown. Wide receivers are a hot commodity again. A guy that seemingly turned around Alabama's offense. He burned a lot of bridges along the way, but he's 49 years old, doing a nice job at Ole Miss. Does Lane Kiffin get a whiff because of his offensive abilities?
I think so. The only question is the offensive scheme that he runs at Ole Miss probably isn't very conducive to success in the pros. There's a lot of things when you talk about some of the play action and RPO schemes. It's a very quarterback friendly system, but not one, you know, it's an offense where if you take away the home runs, then they really run out of options, and they've been struggling on the offensive line too. I think he's somebody who could get some calls, but he's also somebody, it sounds like, that's comfortable where he's at Ole Miss. I believe his daughter goes to Ole Miss as well right now, so he might be inclined to stay there. I could see somebody giving him a call, but it would take a little bit different offensive scheme than what he runs right now with the Rebels.
All right, let's look at, you know, the college football season rolls along, and I think it's been a fun season. Look, you got the expanded college football playoff. You know, Oregon is looking right now like the best team. Ohio State's there, Texas, Penn State, Notre Dame, Miami. Is Oregon clearly the number one team in the country, or is there like kind of a glut of good teams right there at the top?
I think it's a glut. I think, look, Oregon, they're undefeated, and they're well deserving of that number one spot, and most likely they're going to get a rematch with Ohio State to find out who the top team is going into the Final 12. But no, I think it's as wide open as any year as we've seen in a long time. Oregon, even they have their flaws. Ohio State, you know, their offensive line is a big question. Then all those other teams you mentioned, they have significant flaws. Even the traditional powerhouses like a Georgia and Alabama we've seen this year, they can be beat. So I think it's as wide open as ever, and you're going to get in these one-game scenarios, especially that first round in those home stadiums. It's going to be a lot of fun. But, I can't sit here and tell you there's a very clear favorite. You know, I've seen Ohio State in person a couple of times. Absolutely love their defense and love the way Will Howard is playing. But it's really a wide open year this year, and it's going to come down to execution and how teams keep their composure in these playoff games.
Ryan Day wins a ton of games at Ohio State, but he can't seem to beat Michigan. That's, of course, coming up here tomorrow, and it's home. 10-1, if they, God forbid, lose to Michigan again, they'll be 10-2. They'll still be highly ranked. He'll still add to an incredible record he's had since taking over there. But I hate to put it this way, but is his job being talked about as being in jeopardy? Is that seat somewhat hot if he can't beat Michigan?
If he can't beat Michigan, it would get pretty hot, especially if then they were to turn around. They'd probably be playing a road playoff game after losing to a Michigan team that has not been very good this year. There is honestly no logical reason that they should lose to Michigan this year with the lack of what Michigan has on offense. It would get hot if he were to lose this game. I don't think he's going to lose this game, but this Ohio State team with this much pressure on it, they're going to be measured by whether or not they win the national title, because they very well could be the most talented team in the country, but they got to keep their offensive line together through some injuries, and they have to go out there and execute. And I think the spotlight is going to be on Ryan Day in these close games and these close situations late in games, because that's kind of, especially in some of these Michigan games and some of the tighter losses they've had, that's where the spotlight has been. So I do think if they were to somehow lose to Michigan, I'm not even sure how it would happen, to be honest with you, the seat would get very hot, because this is a Michigan team. There's not much going on there, especially offensively. He should not lose to them.
All right, you bring up Michigan, and they go from Harbaugh. He wins a national title for them. Sherrone Moore gets the job. He was the favorite in terms of who the players wanted, things like that. A young guy kind of walks into an opportunity here, taking over a top program without having to go through, say, the cradle of coaches of the Mid-American Conference and working his way up as a head coach. It's been a rough season. The offense has been really non-existent. That said, though, they get the top quarterback prospect in the country, grew up, 30 minutes away from the Big House. When you look back at that hire, is it too early to say, maybe he was the flavor of the month, but maybe not the right choice?
It is early to say that, but I will say you can tell the urgency for success has gone up as the season has gone on, as they've struggled, especially offensively, because you can see all the big name supporters and the NIL collectives all of a sudden were like, okay, we can't be a mess like this on offense again. I think they have the second fewest pass yards per game in the Power Five. It's just been, they haven't been able to move. And it's similar, at least on one side of the ball, to what happened down at Florida State, right? You had this great team the year before, you won a title, and you lost all of that talent to the draft. And the one thing that would bother me is they kind of didn't have a plan to replace any of that talent, right? So, like you mentioned, it's great to get the number one high school quarterback in the country. That's big to flip Bryce Underwood from LSU. And now you've got a foundation that you're working towards, but they need to have some success offensively next year. The seat could get hot. That Michigan, coming off a title and coming off a great era with Jim Harbaugh, they're not trying to go 6-6 every year.
Chatting with Dalton Wasserman, Pro Football Focus, here on the Rich Eisen Show. Dan Schwartzman in for Rich. If Florida State came in, expectations highly ranked. It's been a disaster of a season. Mike Norvell, obviously, on a very hot seat. Are they looking for a new head coach?
I don't think so. I think he's going to get next year to try to figure it out and have some significant improvement. I think this year we can sit here and go, you know what? Okay, so much of that NFL talent left. You're seeing all the defensive stars right now, including Jared Verse and Praydon Fisk out there with the Rams. They're succeeding. They lost a boatload of talent off of what should have been a playoff team last year. I'm completely in that boat. They should have been in the Final Four last year. But he picked the wrong quarterback in the transfer portal and DJ Uiagalelei, but there was a lot of that team. They just lost so much talent, all their top weapons, all the defense. He's going to get one more shot. And, 2-10, honestly, with the level of talent even that they have now, is still inexcusable, but he's going to get a chance next year, coming off of an undefeated season last year, to, right the ship and get it together. But it's an uphill climb now, because you have a season as bad as they've had. It really gets difficult moving forward.
Let's stay in the state of Florida. Let's head to Gainesville and the University of Florida. Billy Napier gets the vote of confidence. Since then, the recruiting has really picked up. They've had a bunch of successes on that recruiting trail the last couple of weeks. They've been competitive, but this is Florida, where you may lose games but be competitive was never something you talked about in a good light. They've had some good wins, but that said, did you agree with the fact that they gave him that vote of confidence? Is he the guy that you think will ultimately turn around a program that at this point needs to get back to the success that they used to have?
Well, I think you're going to find out in the next 2 years, and I understand why they kept him, because you had, I believe, a $26 million buyout on the table, and the Gators, they really can't afford to go through that right now, especially after firing Dan Mullen previously, and then they just need to figure out, you know, their resources and how they're building this roster along with a highly paid coach, right? So I do think what they've done, playing well lately, beating LSU, beating Ole Miss, is they've given the program some optimism. And I also think keeping Napier is a big factor in keeping your quarterback, DJ Lagway, around. He was the number one high school recruit this year, and you're just talking about a guy who's got immense talent. But when coaches leave, players leave now too. That's how the transfer portal works, is your whole team gets reconstructed now, and you can't have that guy walk out the door. So I do think that was a part of it, that Lagway is kind of tied to Napier, but he's going to have another year or two. I think he's going to have this stint with DJ Lagway as his quarterback to figure things out, and then things are going to get really hot.
Dalton, last question for you. You talk about the portal, and look, I'm a huge college football fan. I've been for years. And I can't figure this out. It's like, where does this guy go? Where did that guy go? I'm an Ohio University alum, and our quarterback leaves, and until injury, he was a Heisman Trophy candidate at Indiana in terms of Rourke, the quarterback. Can't keep track of where guys go. Our kicker went to Wisconsin, for crying out loud. Is this going, and coaches have complained, right? You have big-name coaches who have complained. People think Saban may have left because he doesn't want to deal with all this nonsense. Is this going to get regulated a bit more, or is it going to continue to be this Wild West? Maybe you don't have the answer, Dalton, but what's the whispering?
Well, I think the first thing is they have to regulate, for the portal itself, that they need to create a specific 3 to 4 week window where this is your window. And guys, I mean, guys are entering the portal during the season, right after the regular season, it gets crazy. Then there's another spring window and this and that. I mean, it's just guys, you can pretty much just transfer whenever you want. So I think they need one set window. This is where you go, and that's where you're going to be this year, right? Or you can sit out, right? I think the other thing too is the NIL being so deregulated and just really just being the Wild West. And I mean, let's be honest, it's pay for play now. They call it NIL, but we know what it is. That part of it too, it ties directly into it, because there are guys who are leaving because they want an opportunity to play, and then there's other guys who go, well, I'll go here because they're paying me more. It's even happened at, you know, at the high school level with, you just mentioned Bryce Underwood. There's a rumor he got $12 million for a 3 or 4 year package. I mean, this is what guys are going at now. It's a job now, is what it is. So until you regulate one, you won't have any sort of normalcy with the other. And for now, so the NCAA moves on things. It's probably going to be a while before we get some sort of concrete answer on both.
Now, I enjoyed my college life. I'm sure you did as well, Dawn. Imagine going to college as a freshman with $12 million, the fun you can have.
Oh, I wouldn't have made it out.
I mean, I barely made it out. Like, that's because I was a TCOM major, but still, like, you're right. I remember
I mean, it's incredible.
I remember, Dalton, when Chris Winkie went back to college after playing minor league baseball for the Blue Jays, and he had like $500,000, and people talked about the fact that he had like great parties and stuff. I'm thinking, what the heck's $500,000 now for a star college football player? That's nothing.
I mean, the top quarterbacks, like if you're talking a solid starting level quarterback, anywhere from $1.5 to $3 million a year. I mean, you talk about like a Dylan Gabriel, I think is getting somewhere like $2.5-3 million a year from Oregon, or Shedeur Sanders, I think gets the most in the country at $3-3.5 million. I mean, you're right. It's incredible. On top of whatever those sponsorships and all that they're getting, it's a whole different ball game now. And it's just something else that head coaches have to contend with. And you're seeing a lot of the old guard head coaches, right? That they're like, we can't do this anymore. Right. I think about Chip Kelly taking an offensive coordinator job instead, or now, you know, I even got to talk to Mac Brown a while ago about this. Yeah. And he was like, it's a whole different beast now. Being a head coach, it's an entirely different thing with so many different avenues of things that can go right and wrong, and so many things you have to handle. So I think what you're also going to start seeing is these programs get into more of NFL-style front offices with the GMs and all that stuff. You're going to have like a salary cap NIL sort of analyst in there too.
Incredible. Dalton Wasserman, PFF data analyst and co-host of the PFF College Football Show. Dalton, again, happy holidays to you and the family, and I appreciate you hopping on. I know you probably want to get online and do some of that Black Friday shopping, but thank you for the time.
Appreciate it, Dan. Thank you for having me on.
Awesome stuff. I'm going to go shopping. I don't shop online. I got to tell you, Art. You know, I was talking to my wife earlier, and I'm like, what are you doing, honey? And she's like, oh, I'm taking advantage of the deals. I'm like, but we don't need anything.
You know what? I do.
Deals doesn't, what do you need? I do. What do you need? Stuff for the dogs? Like, what exactly do you need?
Dog food? Absolutely. Yeah. Dry food? Wet food? Yes, you can get some great deals on Black Friday on the Amazon. I'm not going out.
Jordan Schultz, who joined us earlier this hour kindly on short notice. You guys are probably best friends now talking about dogs.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Right.
Yep. You keeping in touch or texting about your dogs?
Yeah.
He got so excited when I brought the dogs.
Right? I know, exactly.
He got so excited.
Yeah, he lit up like a tree.
He did. He's like, oh, thanks for asking. Because I was kind of, hey, happy holidays to you and the family, especially the dogs. He's like, oh my God, you know, he's so excited.
I know, exactly. I heard it. I heard it.
That's absolutely great. Dalton Wasserman, appreciate him hopping
mine
on
are brats,
as well.
Mine are brats.
Because you allow that to happen. You allow that behavior. That's your problem.
That's unbelievable. Know? Yeah. I mean, geez, I spoil them rotten, and then they take advantage of me.
Yeah. Sorry, they're your kids. I get it.
Yeah.
Completely understand.
Yeah.
There's no embarrassment when you put your dogs in front of, well, everybody else in the family. Completely understand that. It's never an issue.
Whenever I'm home, I take them for rides. Everybody walking down the street, they're barking at them.
We have a mutual friend.
It's unbelievable.
We have a mutual friend, and they follow you on Instagram as well. And they're just like, yeah, that R. Martinez, man, he's always just seemingly so happy just putting up pictures of his dogs. I'm like, that's why I follow him. I don't care about him. I care about the dogs. I don't care what Art's doing, cleaning up the parents' house or going out with the dogs. I'm like, we're putting up my car. I'm like, I don't care. I want more pictures of the dogs, man. That's all we care about. All right, we're going to wrap things up next. Shedeur Sanders, there you have it. Two people this hour. Top quarterback in the draft, Cam Ward, the other guy. But yeah,
we got to preview the Black Friday game, though.
But how about quarterback four, by the way, in terms of where they would have been in last year's draft? So overdrafting Shedeur Sanders at one, Cam Ward at two or three, whatever it could
be. That's
what's
going to happen.
Yes. Raiders at the Chiefs. That's the Black Friday game kicking off, by the way, in about 20 or so minutes. That's next as we wrap up the Rich Eisen Show. It is Black Friday. Take advantage of those deals. Get to them before my wife does. I don't want her spending money on useless stuff that will be sent back by you-know-who. That's me taking it to the store to return. Dan Schwartzman, in for Rich, the Rich Eisen Show on this Friday.
This is a PSA, or public sock announcement. Experts have declared Bombas socks as the best way to warm up chilly feet. These pairs are super cushy, soft, and designed for maximum coziness. Plus, for every pair purchased, another pair will be donated, so someone in need of essential clothing can stay warm this winter. Go to bombas.com/listen and use code LISTEN for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com/listen and use code LISTEN at checkout.
O'Shea Jackson Jr. and TJ Jefferson bring their unique take on sports entertainment with no contest wrestling. With guests like Swerve Strickland.
Why do you use staples like sensu beans, man?
No, it was just something, a concept I came up with. It's an instrument used to punish. It was just finding those common items. If you see them, you automatically think back to me in that moment. So it's one of those things I wanted to just implement in like my whole character, being the most dangerous man in AEW.
The No Contest Wrestling Podcast, part of the Rich Eisen Podcast Network, wherever you listen.
Let's call it spade to spade, right? The best team in football against the worst team in football. Let's change the narrative, right? Let's go out there and make it a dog fight. Let's make it ugly. Let's make it scrappy. It's Black Friday. Let's create a little chaos. Let's get back to, Raider football and have some fun and some personality. Let it loose.
That's Antonio Pierce, head coach of the Las Vegas Raiders. They are kicking off here shortly in Kansas City. The Chiefs, 10-1. Raiders, probably the worst team in football. They're 2-9.
Hey.
At this point, you want more losses, Raider fan galore, Art Martinez, because you want that top pick to possibly get yourself a Shedeur Sanders or Travis Hunter. You know, here's the thing. Like, Travis Hunter is an incredible talent and an unbelievable player. But if you're the Raiders and say you have the top pick and you have that young quarterback like a Caleb Williams, you could take a Travis Hunter because he's the most talented player bar none in this draft. It's not even close. But if you have to fill the quarterback position in the
have
Raiders,
to fill the quarterback position.
Certainly do. That's the problem. So you are forced to overdraft a quarterback, and the Jets are probably in the same predicament.
Well,
the Giants are in the same predicament, too.
Here's the issue with the Raiders. Last 2 years, they've taken tight ends at number one pick. Brock Bowers and Michael Mayer.
He's good, but you're right.
They're both good. They're both good, but two tight ends instead of a quarterback? Come on.
Well, that's a Raiders raidering. That's a good. I like that. You like that raidering?
Raidering.
That's good, right? The Raiders will be the Raiders. They're raidering.
I'm going to coin the best team in football against the worst team in football.
Yeah, it's called the Raiders Raiders. They're raidering. I'm going to coin that phrase. You in?
I'm in.
Raidering. Yeah, let's get back to old Raider football. What does that mean? You're raidering. Raidering. Playing old school football that is obsolete at this point.
I'm raidering around.
You like it, right?
Yeah.
I expect to see that on your social media soon, next to a picture of the dog, the term raidering. Your next dog's going to be named raidering, probably. Raidering, yeah. Get over here. Thanks, Schwartzy. Raidering. Yeah, you know, here's the thing, though. It's as a Jet fan that saw a lot of talent on the team this year thinking they might go someplace, they still have that talent. You just need the right coach that can actually coach. The Jets are probably the worst coached team in football, and I do mean that. They went from being poorly coached from Robert Saleh to just not being coached at all by Jeff Ulbrich. They're just a terrible football team with a ton of talent. But I think if you're a Raider fan and you watch this game that's kicking off shortly, Art, and I know you're sitting down, which is good for what I'm about to say, is there is a talent gap that's noticeable between the Raiders and the Chiefs. I hate to put it that way, but there is. And how far off are the Raiders from truly once again competing? They don't have a quarterback. You don't really have a running back that you look at and say, wow, that's the future. I do like the tight ends. I like Brock Bowers. But Jacoby Myers is your best wide receiver? Come on. Like, what is this, a joke? You have Max Crosby, but he's going to be asking out soon if they don't shape up soon. He doesn't want to continuously play for a team that's going nowhere.
Who
they
does?
Devontae at, right?
Who does?
They trade Devontae. I mean, you're going to see a game today between a team that has a ton of talent and a team that really doesn't have a lot of talent.
And you know what? And it's going to be a circus. It's going to be a circus out there because you know who's going to be there. You know who's going to be there up Taylor's, in the suite.
Taylor said she's going to be there. I like Taylor Swift. I got to tell you
it's
right
gonna
now.
It's going to be a circus.
I got a 14-year-old and a 3-year-old daughter.
I don't even say that name. I don't say that name.
I will say right here, I did go to the Eras Tour. I did go.
Oh, my God!
I had to go to a foreign country to get a ticket, but I did go. I took my...
Your Metallica sticker is revoked.
Well, I have a 14-year-old daughter. What do you want from me? We went overseas.
All right, fine.
She earned a trip to Europe because she did well in a high school exam to get into a top New York high school. And part of the reward was going to Europe, where a Taylor Swift ticket was literally about 7 times cheaper than what would have cost to go here in New York / New Jersey. And it was a great, I have to tell you, it's a great concert.
That Taylor name Swift, is not in my vocabulary.
You know what, though? She gives you 3.5 hours, doesn't take a break. You get your money's worth going to see Taylor Swift in concert.
Talk about getting your money's worth. Did you see Lainey Wilson yesterday at halftime in the Cowboys game?
No.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah?
She was awesome.
Really?
Oh, sounded great. Looked great. Oh, my gosh. I'm a Lainey Wilson fan. I am. I am.
Go to the next concert.
I will. When
they
come, when she comes to L.A., absolutely.
Take your dog as your date.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, though, I'm looking over the roster of your team that I'm going to watch here shortly.
You have to?
They have two players worth keeping at this point. There should be two people who are untouchable on this team right now.
Yeah. Crosby?
Crosby and Bowers.
Yeah.
That's really it. Am I missing somebody here?
No. No, you're not. I don't see anybody else in the defensive backfield. No linebackers who are worth anything.
No.
Running backs, no.
No. Receivers, no.
No.
Quarterbacks, no.
And in line, offensive and defensive, now you can build it.
I mean, literally, there is such a lack of talent on this Raiders team. It's stunning how little talent this team has.
Well, the general manager didn't draft well.
No.
You know, they didn't coach well. It's coaching and drafting.
You think about the Mayock drafts, except for Max Crosby, right? You look at the failures they had, what, 3 first-round picks 1 year. Not a single one, I believe, is left on the team, right?
Nope.
One guy's in jail.
Yeah.
A couple guys have been released with serious problems, right? I don't even remember the cornerback, but from Ohio State, I think it was, who serious problems.
Forget his name, yeah.
Yeah, because he had a cup of coffee with the team and then got in trouble.
Yep.
The wide receiver out of Alabama who killed that poor woman and dog in Vegas. I mean, literally, the amount of talent that they have had that has not contributed to the team is why right now the Raiders looking up and down the roster.
And that's why we're going to win the game today.
Yeah, I love how you throw "we" in there. If we're going to win this game today, it will be a monumental upset.
We're
going to
win this game. We're going to win this game today.
Give me 10 points. I'm going the over with the Chiefs. You've been awesome, my friend. Art Martinez, always fun to work with you.
It's been fun.
It has. Josh Alper, Pro Football Talk. Jordan Schultz, Fox Sports NFL Insider. And Dalton Wasserman, Pro Football Focus data analyst and co-host of the Pro Football Focus College Football Show. All nice to join us on the show today. It's always fun filling in for Rich. Hope to do it again soon. I'm Dan Schwartzman. Thanks for tuning in to the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, it's Rich Eisen here. Join me and my compadre, Chris Brockman, every Monday on the Overreaction Monday podcast.
Rich, Jameis has taken the Browns to the playoffs.
Dude, why can't they win 7-8 games to finish the year? Why not?
I'm not saying there's no why not, but this is a definitive statement that's clearly an overreaction and is perfect fodder for a show like this one. I appreciate you coming out of the gate hot. Come react or overreact with us. Overreaction Monday, wherever you listen. It's game over.
Over, man.